Now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program for a Thursday. Whether you're listening to us on the radio here in the region or anywhere else in the country or around the world by internet, as we stream this program everywhere. So welcome. Nice to have you with us. A little bit later on the program today, we're going to be talking music with, and it's very interesting, he's a Butler County native. His name is Robert Schaup. He is now the chorus master and conductor of the Virginia Symphony Orchestra. How about that? Yeah. Went to school here locally, won an Emmy, so I'll be anxious to meet him. He'll be with us a little bit later on the program today. First, though, we're going to be talking about an upcoming Festival of Praise, and we welcome a couple of guests into the studio with us to chat about this. We say hello to Bill Malloy. Bill, good to see you.
Good to see you. David, before you go too far, you had mentioned that people are listening from all over. I have a good friend who lives in Fort Lauderdale, and he's listening right now from Fort Lauderdale.
So we've gotten calls occasionally from people. I remember one gentleman, this was back in the dead of winter, late January, a year or so ago. He called and he said, I'm sitting on my front porch in Florida enjoying the wonderful weather listening to you. But the internet's an amazing thing, you figure people are listening all over the world. The furthest distance that I had, and this wasn't a phone call, but I got an email a year or so ago from an individual who was listening in Thailand.
Wow.
Believe it or not. And it's like the middle of the night over there.
Yes.
Well, anyway, Bill Malloy, nice to see you. And Joseph Anna, same thing. Good to see you again.
Well, good to see you, Dave. Nice to be with you again.
So we got this Festival of Praise coming up a little bit later this month. What are the particulars, Joe? When and where is this going to be?
Okay, it's we're labeling it this year, Unity. And you can join us at St. Michael the Archangel Church, 432 Center Avenue in Butler. And again, what we did last year, we're just want to enhance upon that. The turnout was tremendous. A lot of good suggestions, which we'll go over.
And this is going to be on a Sunday, right?
Yes, correct, at 2 o'clock.
Sunday, 25th of August, so that's a couple of three Sundays down the road. Can't believe we're more than a week into August already.
Oh boy, before you know it, huh? It's cool.
So, Bill Malloy, what exactly is a Festival of Praise, anyway? That's a phrase that may be a little confusing to some people. What's that mean? What's going to happen?
Well, our hope would be, Dave, that that people's hearts would be moved that to worship the Lord, that those who attend would really be into a spirit of worship and praise. There are a lot of things going on. There's a number of songs that are picked out as we go through. There's a talk. Father Kevin will be giving the witness talk, and Father Dave Foyereski will be the MC, and he'll give a talk, and then Father Levi leads the music. But our basic hope is that people would have a change of heart, that they would come to this and experience what I would call a double dose of the Holy Ghost, that you know, that they would really turn their hearts and lives to the Lord. So it's praise, but it's worship, adoration, all that through mainly through the music. You know, we're hoping that people will participate as they sing along with these songs that Father Levi basically has picked out. And
is this a newer concept, Joe Savannah? I mean, apart from regular Sunday liturgy with the mass, something that I had not heard of until rather recently. There was one down in Pittsburgh, right, at the St. Paul's Cathedral.
Yes. Well, Dave, you're yourself being in a choir, and the standard songs that are out there is for within the church. But what we have here is just an openness in the songs, like Bill was saying, as far as getting caught up into praise and thanksgiving and worship. And to be able to come forth with these new songs that are out there, that the worship and the praise music is just a lot different than what it is as far as, again, with the choirs that are in there within the churches, as far as what they would be singing and doing. So this just seems to complement it. The youth are excited about it. All ages just get caught up in the music and the lyrics itself.
So this is a different sort of music than you would ordinarily hear at a regular Sunday liturgy, Bill Malloy?
Some call it 7-11 music, you know.
7-11.
Yeah, seven words, 11, sung 11 times. But it's that type of theme. It's, you know, it builds and builds. I don't want to say a simple music, but it's not your standard hymns. It's, you know, it would be music that would tend to lead a person to, you know, to worship, you know. So, yeah, it's, you might say it's geared for younger people, but I that didn't seem to hold anybody back last year. You know, once you find out what the melody is and so forth, then you're free to, you know, jump in and let go, that type of thing.
Well, you're a singer, a cantor. Are these songs familiar to you, or are they newer compositions?
I don't know. You know, I know Father Levi, and there's a bassist that they've written some songs. I don't know if any of them are in there. I'll find out tonight. We have our first practice tonight, so that'll be interesting. You know.
So, this is Father Levi Hartle. He's the worship leader.
Yes.
I don't know him. I understand he's a native of our area.
Yes, from Cabot. Okay, and goes to St. Joe's Church. And then after going through and becoming a priest, he's located in Pittsburgh. So, he has the Holy Apostle Parish Praise Band. So, he's been at this for several years. And does a tremendous job. Just like Bill said, he's written a couple of tunes with the bass player that they have. And then the other songs that are out there that are already been in the worship and praise attitude as far as where the people are coming from. Mm-hmm. So,
and when you say bass player, Joe, you're talking about bass guitar?
Bass guitar, yes.
Like Paul McCartney plays?
There we go, yes.
Really?
Yeah, so what is neat about
these are... I would call non-traditional instruments then for liturgical music.
Yes, you're right, David. And the thing is, what we have happening here is we're going to have four singers. We're going to have a bass. We're going to have piano. We're going to have lead guitar. So we pretty much cover the gamut. We have a flute player. Eventually, I'd like to get a violin in there. But, this is what we have, and it's exciting. I mean, the people are excited about it, and then just what some of them said last year, you know, which we can go over here later on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exciting. It really is.
So you did this last year. It was the first one ever here locally, right?
454 people.
Mm.
And in the suggestion box, we got back some ideas, and also then the announcement as far as how the people felt. And
what was some of the feedback?
Unlike anything I have ever seen, this was more than I could have imagined. Would love to see this happen again. Procession with the Blessed Sacrament was awesome. I felt the Holy Spirit's present. Please, let's have more. Let's have more. Loved Father Will's witness. Wish my parish would have one soon also.
Well, here in Butler, this will be different because there's five different parishes involved, right?
Exactly.
That's news
since
last year.
Bill and I both said, and Bill can jump in on this, this is such an opportune time to be able to have this, bringing these five parishes into one. And I just think it's beautiful timing as far as to be able to do this, not only now but in past year, but years to come. And more than just once a year, wanted to have it where we have it, we don't know yet, about maybe three or four times a year.
As long as you're leading it, Joe. That's a lot. That's
now, would the two of you both be involved? Are you going to be singing or playing or what?
Yeah, I'll be doing, am I the only male voice?
Well, you have Father Levi.
Yeah, but as far as the choral group. So it's not a chorus, it's not a choir.
It's a band.
It's a band. So you just have limited people involved as far as the singing goes.
Mm-hmm.
And the instruments are that of more of a, well, it is a band, not a not an orchestra or not a organist or that type of thing. So, yeah.
And will there be song sheets handed out? Do the people who attend also sing? Or?
Yes. Yeah, we'll have a program with all the words on it of the different music. You know, there's, Joe, is it eight or nine?
Nine.
Nine songs that we'll be doing for the 2.5 hours. And then I do want to say, after it's done at 3:30, we hope to be on time and stop it at 3:30. Then after that, there'll be a chance for people for individual prayer if they want to. There'll be five prayer stations in and about the church. And also people are free to go to the hall for refreshments. And so we encourage all that. So it's done, though, at 3:30. We want to be on time. But then people who would like to stay and get personal prayer are free to do that. Last year we had about 30 people prayed over, and there's some people that claimed some healing when they were prayed with. So
we're talking about the Festival of Praise event, which is coming up at St. Michael the Archangel Church on Center Avenue on Butler's South Side, Sunday afternoon, August 25th. And Joe, you said it starts at 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock, yes.
I'm looking at your poster here, and it says Father Kevin Fazio will be the witness speaker.
Correct.
Did you have a witness speaker last year at the first one of these?
Yes, Father Will.
Mm-hmm. Father Will Winchell.
And what does a witness speaker talk about?
Father Will really impressed me, to answer your question in general. His was so unique, and he just covered basically his life growing up, you know, and then after going through college and then becoming a priest, how his life has changed and what he was excited about to know about becoming a priest. And he kind of, at least me, impressed me as being, you know, kind of shy and so forth, which he did bring that out. He really was. He was very quiet as far as being raised. But as he got into talking about his life, he really just opened himself up, Dave, and it was just tremendous. So it's really their life as being growing to college and then to the seminary.
And Joe, some of the trauma that he went through.
Oh, wow.
That led him to a turn, you know, a turnaround or whatever you want to say to the Lord that led him into the priesthood. So it was very powerful. Very powerful for me.
So this is kind of like a motivational speech, I guess.
Yeah, I would say so, Dave.
Yeah,
very much so.
And that'll, I guess, be the same thing that we'll have this year. Huh?
Yes, we'll have Father Kevin Fazio as a witness speaker.
And Father Dan Warzuski will be the presider, and he'll also speak?
Yeah, he'll give a talk. I at this point, I don't know what he'll be talking on. The theme is unity. So I don't know if he'll be talking on that or not. I don't know.
Unity in terms of all these five parishes coming together, I guess?
Yes, it's very nice as far as the poster you see and you have in front of you, Dave, as far as bringing all five of them together under unity. And I think that's just a perfect name for it this year.
Are these festivals being held in other places?
Yes, down through the Pittsburgh area. Father's been doing a tremendous job with it, Father Levi.
So he's involved with most of these?
A lot of them, not necessarily all of them.
Yes.
He has a monthly Festival of Praise at his home parish, St. Albert the Great. Sometimes they switch off to one of the other parishes that are part of that group. But he has that once a month. But he also will do the things like down at the cathedral for Pentecost or Christmas or that type of thing.
That's the first time I ever heard of this. It must have been for one of those feasts at the Cathedral of Pentecost or something like that. And it was a pretty big deal. What did Bishop Zubik have to say about this? Was this new to him too?
Yes. He was really moved. I know the one that we went to for Pentecost and so forth. To be able to see the young people, David, just so full of the Lord, hands raised. And I made a comment to one of the couples who was in front of me about their young children. They said, oh, they just love the Lord and just love being here for the music and having the bishop so much there. And I think the thing also Bill mentioned several times already in our talk about the healing that's taken place. And the bishop was right there. And David, we just saw X amount of number of people just coming down through the center aisle to the different stations that were in front of the altar at the cathedral to wanted to be prayed over. And Bill and I were just really tremendously moved by that. Bill, anything?
Well, the bishop, the one that was done in at the cathedral, the bishop was the one who was brought the Blessed Sacrament around,
yes,
the whole of the cathedral. In the case here in Butler, it'll be Father Dan, I believe. And it, like I say, it sounds very simple, but people are really moved by a chance to get close up to the Blessed Sacrament, and it just enhances the whole thing. Like I say, it sounds very simple, but people are very moved through the procession of the Blessed Sacrament.
Any idea of how long this will last? Is there a timeline? Starts at 2 o'clock?
3:30. We want it to end at 3:30, and we gear it to that. So sometimes if somebody talks too long, we'll cut out a song or something. We have to make, because people, if we tell them, hey, it's 2 to 3:30, they may have other things planned. We don't want to be going over that. So that's our hope, that we would end on time, and then they're welcome to stay for the individual prayer and go over to the hall for refreshments, if they wish.
We'll take a break. We'll chat a bit more with Bill and Joe here on It's Your Turn on WISR in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. What do they do? Very simple. They package up items for shipping. And it's really convenient. I've utilized their services. It eliminates the need to, search around for the right size box if you have something to mail, or, you're hunting for the bubble wrap or that special tape that you use or the mailing labels. Don't worry about that. Just take your items up to Going Postal Butler. They'll package them up and ship them out for you. Any way you want, by the way. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, that's your choice. They're located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. That is right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on the Newcastle Road. And Going Postal Butler is open Monday through Friday. They have some other services, too. They offer copying service, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there if you need that. They're even an official notary, so if you have to get something notarized before it goes out, that's your place. You can call for more information. Going Postal Butler, 724-841-0044. It's Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
In 2019, Tri-Rivers celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
I'm Dr. Scott Rainey, an orthopedic back and neck surgeon at Tri-Rivers. Whether I'm in the office treating patients for conditions such as cervical or lumbar stenosis, or in the operating room performing innovative procedures like disc replacements, I'm proud to care for patients in the Butler community. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Welcome back, good friends. Bill Malloy, Joseph Anner with us here in the studio. We're talking about the upcoming Festival of Praise, which is set for St. Michael the Archangel Church on Center Avenue on Butler's South Side, the afternoon of Sunday, August 25th. You say, Bill Malloy, that you had a pretty good cross-section of people age-wise who attended last year's initial event?
Yeah, there was, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were there. He's 80 or 80-some. And then you have, kids down, 5 or 6 years old, that type of thing, a good cross-section.
Might some people of an older generation find this a little bit hard to swallow? I mean, if they're used to more traditional praise music, Gregorian chant or some of the older stuff, might they find this a little bit radical? Having a band, instead of an organ and a choir?
I think Dave was so nice was to see the spread of the young and the older, but how the older ones, too, were just involved in it, involved in the praise, involved in the song. Last year, we had them set up on a screen, but this year, we are going with the booklets to be able to have everybody, because some of them had problems seeing the different songs.
Had the songs on the screen?
Yes.
Okay.
And which it worked out well, but still, there was a lot of people felt that they couldn't see it wherever they sat in the church. So we went with a booklet being made up now, different items put in it, but also the main thing is the songs that they're going to be singing. So, the older people, I really was happy to see the way they did respond. It was just tremendous. It really moved our hearts. And just like I said, the feedback, when are we going to have, I remember going even to go through communion, I had one of the people say, when are we having another one, Joe? When are we having another one? Mm. So it's great. It's just, and the priests too involved. That's what another thing too, David, is the priests are just so open and to see how the parishioner act,
Who organizes this? Is there a committee or somebody that puts this all together?
Well, Joe and I are the organizers.
You're the prime movers and shakers.
Well, right? I don't know about that. There's some really good people that I don't know about that, but there's some really good people that that are on the different committees. There's like a hospitality committee. There's a communication committee. There's a prayer ministry committee. The music ministry, and there's really some talented and hardworking people that are on that. So I'm thinking we have probably about 40 people that are on the committee to put on. So it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work ahead of time, during the FOP, and afterwards. So, it takes some work and planning. So Joe and I are along for the ride.
You may have to try to find a bigger venue if your crowds keep growing.
Well, that's something to think about.
We'll let the Holy Spirit worry about that right now.
Something to hope for, maybe, huh?
Yes, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And obviously there's no charge for this, right?
There'll probably be a free will offering if anybody wants to help donate to keep it going. That'll be available. But there's no pressure on anybody to, it's free. It's free. And all are welcome. Otherwise, whether, you're Protestant, Catholic, or whatever, we would encourage all to come.
Are there serious considerations afoot to do this more often during the year, Joseph M.?
We'll be discussing and see what it happens this year here or another couple of days here. Yes, to be able to sit down with some people and see where they're at, because we are having a reaction of we would like to see it more than just once a year. So, again, to have a committee made up of that and sit down and go over the pluses and the minuses. So, we would like to see it. I know Bill and I feel that we'd like to see it more than once a year, so we'd go with that.
In terms of young people getting more involved, we've seen this with some of Pope Francis's trips to you know, youth conventions and so on, World Youth Day or whatever they call it. The young people seem to love the guy.
Yes, and that's really what we want to bring to the table even more so as far as seeing the young ones react the way that they have. But also, I know it's a blessing for the families and just to be able to see their children in such a praise attitude and to be out there doing this within the church. So, yeah, it's a lot different than what it's been years past. But, I mean, it really is praiseworthy.
Is that good? It's a lot different than it was in years past?
I feel that it is. I feel much for what's there, you know.
Well, in years past, there wasn't anything like this.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up, and you mentioned about Gregorian chant with people. I love Gregorian chant. But this fits right in with, you know, Gregorian chant is very reverent, very prayerful, and this is very praise and worshipful, prayerful. So, you know, I don't know about you, but when I grew up there was nothing like this that the person could participate in.
Yeah, we certainly didn't have bass guitars, that's for sure.
No, we haven't, that's for sure. But, you know, I one of the things that I have to do is try to line up the musicians, and we have a lot of talent in Butler, a lot of talent. And just to be able to get some of the youth involved just in the band, which is great. So, yeah, I think we're moving in the right direction as far as having people just open to really praise and worship the Lord and find the goodness in their heart just to let the Lord work in their life.
So that's the bottom line on this whole event, right?
Yes.
The bottom line is Jesus, you know, that people would come to Jesus, you know, through this event, that it will move people that in such a way that they will love the Lord or love the Lord more, that type of thing, you know, that they would, you know, we live in times that, you know, where being a Christian isn't that easy anymore. You know, people are in your face and so forth. And this is an opportunity for people to share an event, you know, that they can be one with, and you know, like you say, it's important that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and this is one way of coming to that. You know, because like you say, the days of being a standby Christian, well, those are gone. I think either, you know, you can't be on the fence, you know.
And once again, there'll be some talks, there'll be lots of music, and then you said afterwards there'll be opportunity for refreshments and fellowship
in the hall.
Yes,
yeah, in the hall. They'll have the hospitality. People are just wonderful. Wonderful. So, yes. There'll be time for some cookies and drinks and so forth, and time to just share. You know, what's so nice about it, David, is to be able to see the people after, how they reacted to it and talking about it. You know, coming up to Bill and I and saying, boy, that was great, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to have more of this. And so it's them asking for more, and it'll be nice to see what comes out of this time, you know. So we're excited about it, and it just moves our heart, like Bill says, just to be able to really worship the Lord and find peace and joy with our brothers and sisters. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Well, gosh, guys, thanks for sharing. Thanks for being with us here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, David.
The Festival of Praise again is Sunday, August 25th. Starting at 2 o'clock. Bill Malloy, Joseph Anna here to give us the details on it. Thanks again. Good to see you.
Okay.
Good to see you, Dave.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll talk with our next guest coming up here on It's Your Turn in just a couple of moments. He's Robert Shalp. And please stick around for that. We'll be right back.
Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way. Getting there starts here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus.
no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Summer may be coming to an end soon, but at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, they're already preparing for fall gardening. There's still time to plant lettuce, peas, radishes, turnips, and onions. New bird baths are also in stock, and check out all the amazing items for your pets, including both hemp joint and hemp calming soft chews for cats and dogs. And don't forget flea and tick collars, traps, and sprays. They have it all, from bone-eyed Japanese beetle traps to Mrs. Wage's salsa and pickle mixes at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, Monroe Street in Butler.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
All right. Welcome back, good friends, and we welcome our next guest here on the A Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Robert Schaup is here. He is the chorus master and the conductor of the Virginia Symphony Orchestra, and he's also a native of Butler County. Robert Schaup, nice to have you here today.
Nice to be here. Nice to see you.
Yeah. You are not only a native of Butler County, you went to Center Avenue Elementary School, is that right?
Well, I went to Center Township.
Center
Township, and then was a Golden Tornado later.
So how did you end up in Virginia?
Well, you know, I had the good fortune to go to Duquesne University and then to Carnegie Mellon, and had the great privilege of studying with Robert Page at Carnegie Mellon, who was just a dear friend and mentor. And my first national audition was in Virginia, and he had guest conducted down there and came back and told me about it. And so I went down and auditioned, and I've been there ever since. This coming season will be my 23rd year with the orchestra.
And I want to talk about the Norfolk Street Choir, because you've been involved with that. I've not heard of it. What's that all about?
So a little over, I guess about 3.5 years ago now, I was doing a concert on a Valentine's Day at the church where I work. Mm-hmm. And it was an accidental date that we picked. It happened to be when the musicians were available. So it was February the 14th. So we said, well, let's build sort of the agape love theme around this. And so we had a guest speaker come who was working on a graduate school paper about music and the marginalized. And so during her talk, she mentioned something about folks experiencing homelessness singing in choirs. And I did a triple take, because I'd never heard of such a thing. Our church is located in the heart of downtown Norfolk. We're a historic church, been there since 1848. So we see quite a few folks affected by homelessness around us. And it just was one of those ideas that wouldn't leave me alone. And so I spent about the next 6 months researching, and I reached out to a couple guys who are now dear friends of mine in Atlanta and Dallas who have similar groups there. There are not many groups like this in the United States. And we laid out the plans and launched the Norfolk Street Choir about 3 years ago. And so we serve breakfast every Friday. And anybody who comes for breakfast is welcome to stay and rehearse if they want to. And I compensate them with bus passes, so they get an all-day bus pass. If they work for me for an hour, they'll walk away with a bus pass. And it's been a really life-changing project for me, I think for them, but also for me, for sure.
And where do they perform?
That's one of the trickier pieces, because what I've found is I've got a big Papa Bear thing going on with these guys and trying to protect our members. Mm-hmm. As you might imagine, not every opportunity is right for this group. And so every now and then I'll have them sing at the church, although they're not gathered as a church choir. It is right now a program of my church, although we're looking at the possibility of separating it as a separate nonprofit. They have sung at community events. You may be aware that once a year on December 21st is as a national night of memorial for people who have died in the streets. So they have sung at that memorial when it's held in Norfolk. They hold their own major concert every spring. We've had just this last May, their concert, I had a full horn section and full rhythm section and had an arranger write some special arrangements for them with some Stevie Wonder tunes, and just really great fun.
So, yeah, a lot of folks, when they hear choir, they automatically think of strictly religious songs.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case. I mean, the first time that I ever sang four-part music, I was in seventh grade, and it was the seventh grade chorus.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and you know, it's a choir in that it's an ensemble of people singing together and working to do that. Most of what these guys sing is in unison. We've branched a little bit into harmonizing, but as you can imagine, when you're just trying to figure out every day where the next meal is coming from, you know, how to get across town to where that next meal is. Many of our folks with physical disabilities, and there's a fairly high frequency of mental and emotional illness in the group. The skill level in terms of musical training is not high, but I think what's been beautiful is it's a chance for them to come and get some of that. So we work at teaching. I remember my very first rehearsal. You know, I've been fortunate in my work with the symphony and some other groups. I've been able to work with some really great artists and some high intensity musical situations. I've never been so nervous in my life as my first rehearsal with the street choir.
Wow.
Because I knew I was going to have to completely kind of reinvent how I thought about running a rehearsal and did not have any idea how that was going to go. Why in the world would this group of folks who didn't know me at all trust me to bark at them and give them instructions? So at our first rehearsal, I think I had eight people. And by the end of that rehearsal, I had had them laying on their backs on the floor working on diaphragmatic breathing. And I thought, we're going to be fine. If they can come back after that, we'll be just fine.
How did you get organized? Did you put up posters on utility poles?
Well, what's interesting, you know, Norfolk is a pretty bustling little urban area. And one of the things in talking to my friends in Dallas and Atlanta that we learned was that you really need to have a critical mass physical location where people are already gathered. That's really kind of a piece. And there was no such thing in Norfolk. The closest thing to that was the library, where many of them would go to get out of the hot sun and, you know, work at the computers, that kind of thing. But that was not really a practical location for this. So we actually started a weekly breakfast for the purpose of not only providing a meal, but creating a gathering place.
I got you.
And word passes on the street really quickly. I mean, I think it's, you know, one of the things that we don't, I certainly didn't realize, is that this is a community, and they see each other at shelters, and they see each other at the various places where help is offered. So they kind of know each other, and in fact, often police each other, you know. We have had very few incidents at all in our experience, but very often we'll have people come and say, hey, we don't know this guy over here, but he's acting a little strange. You might want to keep an eye on him. So it's a community, and I think that's one of the things that's been a big lesson for me, is it's not a class that we look down on. It's a community of people who are our neighbors. And I think coming to understand that, I think, guides everything we decide in terms of what is the music that we sing, what are the performing opportunities we will accept. We've had numerous requests to perform that I've needed to turn down, just because at the end of the day, you say, is A, will they be able to really sing their story in this environment, or are they just part of some other big splashy thing? And what will it be like for them after it's done? Will it be something that actually has elevated their experience, or will they have been a prop in some other event? So it's an entirely different kind of process than any other choir you would ever run. One other real quick piece is it's hard for us to accept evening performances because there are cutoff times to get into shelters. You know, so either we've got to provide shelter, or we have to try to do afternoon daytime performances so that they can get to where they need to be safe at night.
Sounds like this experience for you has really smashed a lot of stereotypes that people might have about the homeless.
I absolutely agree, and I think I was ahead of, I think, some of those stereotypes, but even so, I think, you know, it's very different to, you know, walk in the door and say hello to Tracy and Johnny and Willie and not nameless folks.
Yeah.
We did a piece a few years ago. One of the pieces of music that I found when I was doing my research was something called Street Requiem. And this is a requiem that was written by a coalition of composers in Australia. There seems to be actually a fairly sizable number of these kinds of choirs in Australia. And it's a provocative thing. It opens up, first of all, with a chant in Farsi. It then is a mixture of English, and there's some African dialect, but it's pretty provocative, but it gave our singers a chance to say some things they might not normally get to say. There was a passage I remember we talked about, and I said, we're going to talk about this, and if you're going to tell me if you're comfortable singing this or not. But it was things like, what is it that scares you when it's change I'm looking for? What is it that scares you that makes you bar the door? You know, to be in a position where, you know, people overlook you and step past you and look down on you or even harass you, and to be able to kind of give voice to that kind of a feeling, saying, I'm just asking for help, I'm not trying to hurt you, was a pretty powerful opportunity for me to be able to give them the opportunity to do it and to watch them embrace it and say, yes, yeah, we want to sing this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. We're talking with Robert Schaup about right now the Norfolk Street Choir. I want to talk to you about the Virginia Symphony. I want to take a quick break here, though. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. And they, a few weeks back, started their collection of excess garden produce. So if you're a backyard gardener and all of a sudden you have more peppers than you can possibly imagine, or tomatoes or beans or corn or whatever, make sure that that doesn't go to waste. You know, once you've had your fill and the neighbors and Aunt Minnie and everybody else, consider donating any excess produce to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. They make it very easy to donate. They have a collection every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. until noon at St. Michael's Social Hall on Center Avenue in Butler, right behind St. Michael's Church. And they're there every Saturday. And they will be through the end of September, when we won't have any more harvest from backyard gardens. So think about it. They like to say we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. It's a wonderful thought. Back to talk more with Robert Schaup here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Compassionate Certification Centers makes getting your medical card so easy. They can help you if you have problems registering on the state's website, and can even get your medical records from your doctor. They have 10 convenient locations, and I only needed one appointment. Call CCC today to find out if you qualify at 888-316-9085. You can even send in your medical records for a free review before booking an appointment. That's 888-316-9085 or cccregister.com.
Welcome back, good friends. If you're joining us a little bit late, and that happens especially with folks who are listening to the radio in the car, Robert Schaup is our guest. He is a native of Butler County, went to Center Township Elementary School, but he is the chorus master and staff conductor at the Virginia Symphony right now. We were talking about the Norfolk Street Choir, a program that he got started down in Norfolk. You said it was two or three years ago?
We just finished our third year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, third year. Norfolk, I'm not that familiar with that area of Virginia, but isn't that a big naval base down there?
It is, yeah, huge naval base, probably the largest in the world, I think, actually, yeah. So it's a very big military community, and as you might expect, in our homeless community, we have homeless vets, which is especially heartbreaking.
That's why I was asking.
One gentleman in particular that's with us all the time, still fighting to try to get his benefits and struggling over some, you know, conflict over that kind of thing. I think one of the big stereotypes that got shattered for me when I started working with this community is the idea that homelessness is one thing. It's a lot of things. I think the stereotype is, you know, you're lazy or you have an alcohol or drug problem. Some of that might exist, but boy, that seems to be actually the rare piece to me. There's a fairly detailed census that's done every year in this community, and the most recent data in our region, and I think it's pretty consistent from what I've heard from elsewhere, is that about 15% of those who are experiencing homelessness have a serious addiction issue, which means 85% don't, which flies absolutely in the face of, you know, we've had folks who, you know, had a really, really good jobs, had a major health issue, and it bankrupted them, and they ended up in the street. We have folks who have learning disabilities or health issues that they just could not keep up with financially. And as you can also imagine, some really tragic family situations that have led folks. I should let you know and your listeners know that this fall there will be a major documentary film coming out actually about the Norfolk Street Choir, produced by our local PBS affiliate. They were with us for 38 consecutive weeks filming.
Wow.
And they are going to make it available nationally, so it's up to sort of the local PBS stations to pick it up and air it. So I don't have a working title for you yet, but I'll try to get it to you if people want to call WQED and ask them to please pick it up when the
might,
time comes.
Might be on Channel 13.
It very
here,
well could
huh?
be, yeah.
Wow. Is it mostly men in your choir?
It started out that way with just a couple of women, but it's balanced in the last couple of years. It's I'd say it's probably about 60-40, something like that.
It's another stereotype that, you know, most right. homeless are men.
Yeah, no, it's not. And many, you know, many women with sometimes single women with children trying to make that work. You know, it's heartbreaking. There are more and more homeless families. So one of the things that's been interesting is that we serve breakfast, but we have actually ended up becoming the hub in Norfolk for homeless services. There are lots of folks working in this problem. Several other churches serve meals, and there are a couple of independent shelters. But Friday mornings, we are typically serving breakfast to about 100 people, and there are representatives from the city of Norfolk, caseworkers, who come almost every Friday to see their clients. We have a couple, Eastern Virginia Medical School has started working with us to come and provide some medical screenings. So we've sort of become a hub for where people can come to get connected to other services, which has been beautiful. And my coworker at the church, Stephanie Van Leeuwen, has recently gone through some training, and she can now actually take cases for the city to help steer people into the housing system to try to get them into housing.
Do you serve the breakfasts at your church?
We do. We do. And the other thing is terminology is important, and we've learned a little bit about this too. Like, you won't ever hear me refer to it as a homeless choir or to a person as you're homeless. One of the things we've talked about is that people are experiencing homelessness as a condition, which we hope to make temporary. Labeling you as homeless is sort of akin to saying you are cancer if you are struggling with cancer, you know, so we try to avoid that. And also in realizing that there's a vulnerability at many different levels. So some members of the choir are on the street. They'll go out and sleep under the stars that night. Some are in shelters. Some are in rapid rehousing situations. Some are in permanent supportive housing, but they're still vulnerable because they would not really be able to go and support themselves in a normal life situation. So there are several different strata in terms of what people's degree of being affected by homelessness is at the moment. But even those who have been on the street, when they get off, very often come back and stay singing with the choir because they have found community and they have found a place that they can trust, which is beautiful.
And singing can be very therapeutic.
Well, you know, I have to say there is a fine line. Sometimes when I'm talking to people who haven't heard about this before, I get kind of the funny look because, and to be fair, it would be very easy for this to be an exploitive exercise. And that's an important thing that we not miss. And so one of the things I talk to the singers all the time about is that they have a commodity that is absolutely real. And that is when they stand up and they sing about hope and perseverance and keeping on and being optimistic, they do that from a platform that I, with all of my experience and training, will never have. I can never move an audience in the way that they can because of what people know their story is. And I remind them that they are very aware of the stereotypes thrown their way because of the way they're dressed and where they are. We have to be reminded that we may have stereotypes too of the person who comes to hear them wearing really nice shoes, getting out of a nice car, and assuming that everything's just fine. But we have to remember that they have likely felt betrayed or disappointed or, you know, had loss. And so when they speak to that, that's a real commodity that matters for their audiences.
This is just such an impressive, and I had no idea, of course. I'm sure many other people didn't. Maybe other people around the country will know more whenever they see this PBS special that's being put together. This is really tremendous stuff. So why? How do we find you back here in your hometown
for a few days? Well,
my
children and I come back here every year for a week in the summer to see my mom and dad, who still live up off Mercer Road. And it's funny that we should be here talking this week, because this is the first time our week has ever aligned with the Butler Farm Show, which I have a history with, because I got into music because I was, I don't know, under 5 years old and saw the old Lawrence Welk show on television and said, wait a minute, they do that for a job? And so got fascinated with the old electronic organs that used to be sold. And so I remember we were at the Butler Farm Show, and the old Young's Music Center used to have a trailer out there, and that's where I had my first lessons. And
wow.
My first public performances, I think, were at the Butler Farm Show playing on those organs, and then away it went from there. So it's kind of funny that we would be here this week.
Yeah, great story. I want to talk a little bit about your music background, since we're lucky enough to have you here today. I do need to take one more break, though, so let's do that, and we'll be back to talk a little bit more with Robert Schaup, visiting with us here on the It's Your Turn program today. We will be right back.
Everyone's trying to beat the heat, so why bring it into your kitchen? There's no need to slave over a hot stove when you can go to Michael's Restaurant. They're cooking burgers, hoagies, pizzas, soups, and salads to feed the entire family. So relax, stay cool, and take the family to Michael's Restaurant, Route 422 in Butler.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
We're fortunate to be able to chat here with Robert Schaup, who's the course master and staff conductor for the Virginia Symphony Orchestra, Butler County native, went to Center Township Elementary School. You talked, Robert, about how you had your first lesson on an organ at Young's Music Trailer at the farm show. Obviously, you went on through your years in the Butler School District.
Yeah, you know, I had wonderful teachers in the Butler School District. Eileen Campbell was a teacher that took me from Young's, and she was really my first teacher. But Deanna Cawthorn in the chorus at the intermediate high school, and Bob Fika and Mr. Schweinberg and Corky Whitaker up at the high school, you know, they were all affirming, and they were just great teachers and made it a great experience. And I still look back fondly on the musicals played in Barnum and Damn Yankees when I was in high school. And
Have been probably back in the Bill Leonard days. Was he directing the musicals then?
No, Bill Leonard, I think, was no. So Mr. Schweinberg actually directed Barnum my junior year, and it was his first time directing a musical. And then he, the very next year, was diagnosed with cancer, I remember, and got very ill. So I graduated in 85 was my last year. So I finished school. I went to Duquesne University for undergraduate school and had wonderful teachers there.
Did you major in music of some sort?
Music education with a major in voice. Actually had my first church job here in Butler at Trinity Lutheran Church. So I walked to the Greyhound station from the campus at Duquesne and came up here twice a week. And my dad would pick me up at the bus stop and take me back. And then I got a job in Penn Hills in Pittsburgh at Mount Hope Presbyterian Church, where I worked for almost 10 years. During that time, I went to Carnegie Mellon and had the incredible privilege of studying with Robert Page, who just became my dear, dear friend and mentor, and miss him all the time. He passed away a couple years ago. And he, of course, the director of the Mendelssohn Choir for many, many years. Mm. And just what an incredible privilege those 2 years to study with him were.
When you first were involved with the Virginia Symphony, was it as chorus master, since you were majored in chorus?
Yeah, so I went down for the audition. At that time, there were two organizations doing a joint search. It was the Virginia Symphony, and it was the Virginia Chorale, which is an all-professional chamber chorus. So they're separate organizations, but they did a joint search, figuring they would bring somebody together. And so I directed the chorale for about 10 years, and then I moved away from that but stayed with the symphony, and I have done a few church jobs along the way as well. I'm now, I don't know, 13, 14 years into my work with Freemason Street Baptist Church in Norfolk, and then have taught privately and done a number of other things there as well. But I've been very fortunate.
Does the chorus perform regularly with the symphony?
We do, and we've been really lucky. We're about to lose our music director, who's been there longer than I have, Joanne Folletta, who is a world-renowned superstar. She has recorded with London. She's the music director of the Buffalo Philharmonic. And Joanne, in addition to being a really great music director, is one of the great human beings on the planet. Just a brief story, when we did the Street Requiem with the Street Choir, which of course is unrelated to the symphony, it was in the parking lot of the church. It was about 42 degrees. We had several hundred people who came. And after the performance was done, of course, my back was to the audience. I had several of my singers come up and say, "Did you see Joanne here?" I said, "No, Joanne who?" And they said, "Joanne Faletta came." And she came on her own and posted a number of photos to her own Facebook page.
Wow.
She's just a wonderful, wonderful human being. And she's been very generous with the chorus over the years. We've done numerous recordings for the Naxos label, done some very big projects. We recorded the Stravinsky Les Noces and Mahler's Eighth Symphony, and done some big projects. You may even remember, because this made some national news, a few years ago was the 400th anniversary of the founding of Jamestown, Virginia. I was in charge of that national chorus, which was about 1,800 singers.
Get out,
and,
really?
Yeah, wow. And Joanne was doing the orchestra. So there were actually three stages. It was 400 in the orchestra in the middle. I conducted 900, half the chorus on one side, and another conductor conducted the other half of the chorus on the other side with television monitors keeping it together. And the thing that made national news was that George Bush came, and when he got up to leave after his talk, he climbed up on the podium and took the podium from Joanne and conducted away during a Sousa march. And when it was done, he handed her the baton and awkwardly kissed her on top of the head. And that was on all of the news stations across the country. What I remember was being in the Joanne and I were sharing a trailer, and I got back before her, and I just remember her walking into the trailer days going, "He kissed me. The president kissed me." Some great memories.
Imagine directing a 900 voice choir. Wow.
I had to rehearse them prior to the performances, so that was 1800, and the rehearsals were held at the Field House at William and Mary. And they arrived on a Thursday for performances on Saturday. So I had a couple of rehearsals. So that was about as much strategizing as I've ever done for a rehearsal in advance to try to figure out how to make it work. And amazingly, they all came really well prepared. I think they ranged in age from 3 to 95. So it was a pretty amazing. They were from 48 of the 50 states, I think. So it was a pretty amazing experience.
Norfolk is a big place, as you mentioned. It's one of the largest naval bases in the world, big population. What are your thoughts about Butler? Much smaller, still having a pretty doggone good symphony.
The music director, is Matt Kramer still here?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So Matt was an associate conductor with us. Oh. So Matt and I worked together for a couple of years when he was with the Virginia Symphony, so I know Matt. It doesn't surprise me. I think, again, given my history of the education here in the public schools and the importance of the arts, and I've got family here. My nieces and nephews are in Grove City, and they are very active in theater and the arts, and I love the fact that it is a treasured part of the experience of growing up, still, as it was for me when I was growing up here. And whether it's a career or not, I think having it as a piece of life is a really important thing for all of us.
I think it's pretty amazing in a community the size of Butler that we have such an amazing symphony still. And they're like, I don't know, 60-some years or something like that. They've been going strong. So I always like to ask this when I get the opportunity to talk with a professional musician.
Uh-oh.
whenever it's the end of a long day and you get home and, sit down in the recliner and kick off your shoes, what do you throw on the CD? What's the kind of music you need to relax?
The honest answer to this is, thanks to MLB.TV, I throw on a Pittsburgh Pirates baseball game. I don't listen to music recreationally very much, just because it's a big piece of my everyday life. So I do. I'm a news junkie and a baseball junkie. I have my 10-year-old daughter and my 15-year-old son have been fully indoctrinated into the Pirates baseball tradition. If I do listen to commercial music, interestingly enough, also something that I discovered when I was here, I'm a big fan of the Canadian rock trio Rush. They were unbelievable musicians. I actually learned Strange Meters 5 and 7 and 13 by listening to Rush when I was growing up, because they made it so musical and make it seem so right. I'm a big fan of Billy Joel, mainly because he's a storyteller and tells other people's stories. It isn't about him. I have a lot of respect for that, so that sort of thing. But more often than not, I'm probably tuned to a news station or a baseball game.
What a pleasure to have you here, Robert. A
pleasure to be with you. Thank you for the time.
Yeah. You said the last time that you were at WISR, we were still on Main Street.
Yeah, I think it would have been probably when I was in one of the musicals in high school. I remember coming for an interview for Barnum, is what I recall.
Well, that's a ways back.
It's a ways back, yeah.
Well, it's nice to have you here. Nice to have you back in your hometown for a week.
Ditto.
And have you been out to the farm show yet?
We have. I think we're, if the weather will let us, I think we're going to go back tonight. My my uncle, Ron Schout from Oil City, has, I think, repaired a guitar for a bluegrass group that's going to be there tonight. So he's delivering a guitar for them to play tonight. So, and my daughter, her first time at the farm show, just was completely geeking out about it. And she wants to go back. And Alice and my son, Benjamin, both had a good time. So I think we're going to go back.
Well, that's great. Robert Schout. Butler County native, now course master and staff conductor of the Pittsburgh Symphony, the Virginia Symphony Orchestra, and also the founder and conductor of the Norfolk Street Choir. Pretty amazing. Thanks again.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
That wraps up our program for today. There's no Pirate baseball tonight on WISR. The Pirates are off today, flying to St. Louis. Don't forget, tomorrow night, we have Steeler football here on WISR, the first preseason game. Bill Hillgrove will be calling the live radio play-by-play here on WISR tomorrow night as the Steelers host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Hope to see you tomorrow, 12:30, for the Friday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Reflection of a flame.